It's the ERP Confab. I'm David Essex, editor-at-large at Search ERP. AI-driven voice technology has been a mainstay of consumer markets for more than a decade, and in recent years it has begun to infiltrate ERP. But is Siri and Alexa-like voice control of business processes really practical? And if so, how do you go about deploying it? I'll talk to Mark Prasad, head of emerging experiences at the Moonshot Consultancy, whose recent work has focused on enterprise and B2B applications of voice technology. Thanks a lot, Mark, for joining us today. You have written a lot lately, and I think Moonshot has done a fair amount of consulting work on voice technology and the opportunities there. What are the potential benefits of deploying voice technology throughout the internal enterprise architecture as opposed to the customer-facing stuff?
It's a great question. I think one that a lot of businesses are thinking about as they hear about voice and conversational AI as a whole and where that value is. And quite simply, and maybe this is oversimplifying it, I would say operational efficiency is where you'll see the biggest advantage of adding voice into the enterprise and into internal applications. The second, probably softer KPI that I would mention is employee satisfaction and employee happiness. And the reason why I'm going into those two areas, and I'll just anecdotally share this, like imagine you're in a meeting and you no longer have to say, oh, I'll pull that information and we can reconvene later this week or next week. And now you've had to have two meetings and delay a week in order to have that information readily in front of you. And now imagine that voice enabled software or maybe a smart speaker in your room can help mitigate some of that delay in getting the information that you're looking for. So it's always at the tip of your tongue or the tip of your fingertips, if you will, in terms of accessing that information. The other reason that I like to bring up operational efficiency is I like to think futuristically that voice should essentially replace the keyboard. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if you think about all the tasks that our employees and our users do that require a keyboard, and now you can say those things at a rate much faster than typing it, right? Now we're looking at operational efficiency and time back that they get to work on those many projects that they already probably don't have time for, or doing anything along the lines of looking after the kids nowadays and being able to multitask, since they might be working at home. So there's just a couple of the things I like to talk about.
You know, it's interesting. I hadn't thought of this. I was thinking of the operational stuff, but we do a lot of writing at some of our websites lately about employee experience, which I'm sure you hear about too in your design work. Interesting thought that it sounds like using voice technology in the enterprise can be a way to improve the employee experience and maybe lead to happier employees.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think it's hard for me not to think about today in particular when people, and especially parents or anyone, are juggling being the educator and being the chef and being still trying to do their day job at home and trying to manage schedules for a family. Or even if you have hobbies, right? Like, and you're not necessarily a parent, how do you manage those things? As much as we can help ease some of that in someone's day, I think you're finding out that that is a huge advantage and a corporate perk, unfortunately, nowadays, of helping to ease some of the burden that people have. And as you think about the need for, unfortunately, health and wellness days, this is another way to help ease some of the tension that some of our people have nowadays and to kind of show support in a different way mm-hmm. and with technology.
Mm-hmm. What are the specific business processes and maybe software applications that would benefit the most from adding voice user interfaces and other voice technology? So in other words, where is the low-hanging fruit, do you think?
That's a great question. And I think where we're going with voice, especially for the enterprise, is around coupling voice with some of our BI tools, our business insights tools. As you think about things like reporting and how do we run a query quickly? How do we get access to information or a report in a faster manner? I think that that's probably going to be the nearest and dearest use case that folks are looking at because the value there is so readily necessary, especially from executives within an organization. Mm-hmm. You know, that example that I gave earlier of not having to go back, ask someone for a report, they have to go back, do it in a day, bring it back, bring that information back to you. Imagine asking for quarterly sales numbers from your application. It pulls it up on the window in front of you. And now you guys can talk about it. The era of, I need to go compile all this information, then I need to format it into a document, and then I can come set up a meeting to share it. Those should long be gone once we figured out the right way to design this and have this interface.
So maybe unfair to spring this question on you, but I'm thinking of the practical way of doing that. The use case you just described sounds like an analytics dashboard. So, or it can be, it can come from other places, certainly could be in any ERP system in any number of places or in a dedicated BI tool. Is that where it would be? Would it either come with that product or would you maybe develop either in-house or with the help of an outside consultancy, would you somehow add that voice control to the front of that, let's say, analytics tool?
Yeah, and to be clear, that's just one of the use cases that I'm seeing right now most prevalent, but it's a good question on whether or not you in-house try to work with a consultancy or a vendor in order to create that, or do you find a tool that has that capability along with it? And the answer for me is twofold. Obviously, I'm going to say it depends, unfortunately, but let me address both really quickly. So on the side of creating it in-house, a lot of organizations have spent a fair amount of time and money investing in what their BI tool and their data insights can tell them. At that point, it likely doesn't make sense to replatform to a new tool that has this capability or a voice capability alongside of it. In that case, in particular, I would say adding a voice to that tool atop it or slash within it makes the most sense. And there's a lot of consultancies and vendors in the world that are thinking about that, you know, mine in particular, on how do we do that? And we have accelerators to help create that in a faster manner. Now, to touch on the other point of, do I buy an application with this capability? That's an interesting one, mainly because I haven't seen a lot of applications that do it well. And when I say do it well, it's you have to be able to have the natural language processing of the application itself, then be able to understand the questions that I'm asking. So it needs to be trained to say, if you have any proprietary terminology, we're going to need to train this out of the box solution on that word or that verbiage now. And so making sure that things like that work right are a question mark in a lot of cases, right? You still need to design what the conversation is going to be. How does it respond to the questions that I'm asking? What are the questions that I can ask in the first place? And then the last thing I'd say about either of those areas is something that's very near and dear to my heart, especially as you think about enterprise tools, which is culture. And the culture that you have, and everyone under the sun is undergoing a digital transformation. And part of that digital transformation is cultural. Now, I think to buy a product with something like voice that we expect our teams and our personnel to utilize, that is wholly affecting the culture, right? And that is a symbol of our culture. So I think as we think about it being an in-house tool, that's where I would personally prefer to go, mainly because then I have my hands on controlling the tone of voice, the personality that it gives, the responses to the questions and the niceties that are included in that conversation. And it's not just transactional, right? It is a cultural change that we're moving with.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that isn't such a good candidate for voice?
Yeah, that's a very tough question for me to answer. And I only say that because I do think about voice as an omni-device capability, right? And that's more hardware related. As we think about the applications that it applies to, I think that there's, for the most part, a case for most applications. And as you think about, in particular, the world of ERP, and you think about supply chain, or you think about accounts receivable, and you think about accounts payable, to a degree, those need to work with display enabled with voice, mm-hmm. or a voice enabled with display. And those are two very different things. It talks about what is the primary role, or what is the primary channel that I'm using. So if this is a very visual tool, then this is display that's augmented with voice, right, in order to manipulate it. If it's the other way around, it's a voice that's the primary action, and display is augmenting that relationship there. And it just depends on which channel is support and which one's not. And that's something that I think a lot of people get wrong, unfortunately, whether it's in this, an ERP or an enterprise application, or whether that's honestly in the consumer world itself and the balance of those interactions. So to get back to your question, it's hard to say what part of that does not work well with voice. I think that there's probably some confidential information that's shared in the accounts receivable, accounts payable world that you don't want to say out loud and or to have read out loud. So that's something that voice would be a secondary player. I can input information, but I don't want it read back out loud because I don't want other people hearing. It's really simple to talk about.
You know, I was kind of thinking, you got to figure out all these different places in the workflow, let's say in ERP, where you could put voice, but I guess it could just be a little bit like when somebody's trying to use their phone when they shouldn't in the car, let's say, where they might type. There's a screen where there's input requested. You either have to click on something to go to the next screen or do something to initiate an action, or you need to type in text or numbers. Is that how it works? In other words, you basically add to whatever interface there is. There's the keyboard interface and the visual presentation. You add voice capability and then a certain amount of sort of control features that will help the voice part kind of go to the proper field. Is it that kind of level of granularity?
I think that's the most basic level of voice entry. But I think the voice application that most people would desire is essentially the voice-based virtual assistant. The one where it sits kind of above the application itself. So I can ask this ERP application any question I want, right? And it'll direct to any part of that system that makes sense to grab the answer and share it with me or help me to enter that information. Now, you raise a great point though. If I were to be on an accounts receivable page and filling out a form, can voice really help me there? Or is it too much of a burden? And that's where I think the voice replacing the keyboard comes into play, right? Like I tap something on my tablet. I then say it's David Essex, right? I go down to his address field, I say 9534, right? Like, and now it's just less clicks. And I know we think about, well, I type really quickly. You do type really quickly. And in some cases, that's really helpful, especially when your kids are sleeping and you don't want to be talking out loud. Mm-hmm. But in most cases, the voice is going to be the predominantly faster mode of entry.
You've talked a little bit about the ERP vendors. You made a reference to, I think, the quality is. Any further thoughts about what the big ERP vendors like SAP, Oracle, Infor, Microsoft have been doing when it comes to incorporating voice technology into their actual business apps?
I can tell you that all these vendors are definitely trying to figure out how best to incorporate and implement voice into their applications. And the CRM side of the world, what is really fraught with inefficiencies is the ability to help maintain the relationship and get information about the accounts that you own. So for them, it's all around simplifying that process of gaining and getting and sharing that information. So again, accounts teams can move a little bit more agile when it comes to manipulating or managing those relationships. As it relates to Microsoft, they have Cortana, and they're positioning something like Cortana as productivity and a business voice application or voice AI. And that's something that I think that they're working on implementing across their suite of products, right? Obviously, Dynamics is their ERP tool. Haven't seen any strong use cases at the moment, but I know that they're thinking about working on use cases around tell me what my sales numbers are, tell me what's the next best offer for this customer, things along those lines. And those are two that I'm aware of. I know that Infor is working on their voice AI called Coleman as well. And again, they're working on some very similar use cases. Theirs probably extend a little bit further to things like what price should I charge for a given product? Or even in the internal, as you hit the HR side of the world, like how much PTO do I have left? Or can you help approve the promotion for X person? Right. And so you're seeing now the business side and transactional side of the ERP system, but you're also seeing the HR side of the ERP application as well.
What are going to be some of the toughest challenges that companies are going to face when trying to do this?
I think that there's two. As we think about the adoption of the technology, right? And I mentioned earlier that the consumer behavior out in the world is changing in general. And engagement is there, whether you look at the use of Siri and Cortana and Bixby and Google Assistant, right? Like those adoptions are there, as well as the adoptions of the smart speakers themselves. So we're seeing that in general, but I think, you know, there still needs to be a level of comfort with using that in an enterprise application level and environment that people just need to get accustomed to. Right. If you remember back to when people had smartphones and it was a faux pas to bring them out at the workplace, or to have a business application on your phone was a security risk, right? There are things like that that are pseudo hurdles to increased engagement of voice in the enterprise. So those are two that I would say. That the other is gaining support. And this is something that unfortunately is a primarily top-down innovation, right? It needs to come from the C-suite and be rolled out for the applications, especially as we're talking about ERP, to make sure that's something that's viable for the organization and the culture that they have. And actually, last thing, it's the experience design of it. And I can't get away from this enough. It's the same frustration that you and I face when we talk to an Alexa or a Google Assistant, which is, are they going to understand me? Or is this going to actually be another step that I'm going to try? It's not going to work. And then I need to go back to my keyboard anyways. I think mitigating that frustration point is going to be key to the adoption, engagement, and overall customer satisfaction within the enterprise.
How much of that is on the people developing Alexa, you know, companies behind a lot of this, like Nuance, the fundamental technology versus people who are designing these into the specific uses, like where maybe you have a chance to kind of select the universe of words that is likely to be understood or something? Like where does the responsibility fall in trying to make that technology more reliable?
I think it falls on both, right? And I'll explain, obviously. So there's two things to think about. There's the ASR, which is the automated speech recognition side of the world, which is, can I say something and then the words will appear on, let's say, the form that I'm filling out, right? That's the simplest use case for something like automated speech recognition. As we think about NLP, though, the natural language processing, that's getting into the intelligence layer of this. And that's where things like Google Assistant or Lex, which is Alexa's voice AI, comes into play. And now they're trying to train those AIs to better understand people, whether it's accents, whether it's different languages, whether it's slang, intonation, right? Those are all things that are still issues for consumers in getting that right. Now, you asked that question of who's the onus on. I think when you, there are independent NLP engines out there for companies to pick up, or they can utilize some of these bigger ones that are out there that have some training in it of themselves. What I see is one of the problems, though, is something that I mentioned earlier, which is the training on the individual company's terminology, as well as any other language elements that they have. Because Alex, for example, isn't going to know that if I work for Moonshot, what I'm talking about when I say the fuel methodology, right, which is a process that we use in-house, mm-hmm. right? And so how do we now train it on those things? Or how do we get it to include those areas of personality that I mentioned as related to culture to really stand out? And so as a leader within any of these organizations, I look for them to evaluate that and how do they infuse that with any voice and AI technology that they're bringing into the fold.
Now, you did write recently about B2B uses of voice. Are there some other opportunities that we haven't talked about that are not the business to consumer or internal to a business, but are the business to business opportunities?
Absolutely. And the one that I probably stress the most in is B2B when it relates to goods and receivables. And that's because much like us, whether we're using DoorDash or Grubhub, it's a where is my thing? Right? How do I get that thing? How do I reorder this thing? For a small B2B segment that I'll talk about, think about food distributors and restaurants. Right? It's still B2B in terms of how it's organized. But a restaurant owner is in the business of serving great food to people, not necessarily in the how do I manage the operations of the back office of a restaurant. And so how do you remove some of those logistical questions from their day-to-day? And I think voice is one of those ways that you do that. So in that B2B space, you know, whether it's ordering or reordering my July menu or reordering the menu that I was talking about for this particular day or for Easter or for Christmas or for whatever holiday I want, or where's my truck, or I need to place an emergency order for green beans, whatever it might be, I think that is definitely an area that we're seeing B2B be immensely valuable. Right? That's not the key core component of my business. How does this help me to augment that?
Mm-hmm. What's your long-term vision for voice? If it reaches its full potential, what might the typical internal enterprise system or B2B system be like to use?
I believe that voice can replace the keyboard in many ways. And you have a touch interface and you have a keyboard, and that's all you need in order to accomplish what you're trying to. Now, how that manifests itself into the enterprise, I think, becomes a trickier question because of, you know, just comfort levels and being able to safely and confidently be able to talk in the open about what it is that you need. Because there's this, I don't want to say cultural thought, especially, you know, if you watch Office Space back in the day, things are quiet all the time, right? Like it has to be quiet. You're in your cube, you do your thing, and then you go up and you leave. And then we move, I would say, here in the 21st century to the open concept offices, which we're now seeing is both one part good and one part not so good. And as you now talk about the applications that a user is going to use within these office settings, there's definitely a comfort level that has to be had there in terms of how it is that you're going to be using voice in these spaces and what makes the most sense. So in my world, being the lover of voice that I am, I think replace the keyboard, have voice there. If you do need the keyboard, absolutely, you can have a digital one and then a touch-based interface to utilize. I would say that those are probably the two that I see the most value in the future. And then the other thing I'd say is the amount of AI that's put behind it, right? It's not just voice for voice sake. It's voice with an intelligence layer with it so that these things are smart and intelligent and that I'm talking with purpose, right? And that there's value in having essentially my virtual assistant that is voice enabled.
It'll be interesting to see. Thanks, Mark, for your time today.
Yeah, really appreciate it, David. It's been a fun conversation.